Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastically fantastic night of Fandom Access. A lot of F's in there. I am your faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And look, Karen is already here, so I don't have to gavel tonight.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. All ready for the first show of 2020. I'm not sure if it's the first show of the new decade. People can't seem to agree if it's a decade or not. But anyway, first show of the year.
It's not the decade. Yeah, it's not the decade, but that's beside the point. And holy crap, we're starting the new year off right, because guess who else is here on time? Jamie!
Be nice. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Always nice.
Happy New Year.
Hi, Happy New Year. So, what were you saying? It's not a decade.
Well, people on the internet can agree if the first decade of the year is over and we're now in the second decade, or is this the 10th year? There's no zero year, so this is really the 10th year, and the new decade starts in 2021.
Right. I don't know. That's a dumb thing, but I guess I get that. But I say it's the start of a new decade.
Fandom Access goes on either way.
Anyway. So we got, I guess, not necessarily a lot of things, but things that are going to take a while, yeah?
Yeah.
So do we want to start with Doctor Who?
Yes.
Why
don't you guys do that?
Yes, we are not going to talk about Star Wars yet until you see it. So we'll talk about Star Wars maybe next week.
I will see it this week. I have been planning to. I haven't been able to. Okay, so talk about Doctor Who. Obviously, we've seen both parts of the two-part premiere. So anybody, if you haven't seen it, especially in these episodes, don't listen to this because there's big, big spoilers you don't want to know ahead of time. That's what I would say.
Now,
obviously, I liked it a lot more than you did. I think we've kind of agreed before, though. A lot of times, I don't know, like, I can like parts of it a lot, and, like, I don't really – I do this with a lot of shows, I notice, because, like, then I hear you tell me, oh, this didn't work, and then I think more about it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't know. For some reason, I tend to, like, not nitpick it as much as you do, I guess. But then when I get into it, it's like, yeah, okay, that didn't make sense. So – let's start with, I guess we can just talk to them at a bottom both as a whole. What did you think of the two? You talk first, then I'll talk.
Well, so you and I discussed a little bit over text message that I thought this was a very messy, messy. I really didn't like the first one. After the first episode, I texted you how much I didn't like that episode, and I seemed to be kind of alone in it.
That's okay.
Most of the world liked it. And then the second episode, although I liked it better, it was far worse in terms of like plotting and like making any actual sense as a hour of television, right? Like I felt like it was messy and the plot got away from them and there's all this stuff that like I still don't understand and whatever. But I enjoyed it more actually. And then it's kind of all made up for it in the last 10 minutes, which was kind of well done. I think I'm struggling with the Doctor. Now, the show's been off for like almost a year, right? But I'm struggling a little with this new Doctor's lack of confidence. I mean, I like that she's interested in learning and knowing things. And I mean, I kind of like that she's lost her memory, but I kind of don't like that she's lost her memory. The Doctor's kind of annoying that he's like always
lost
the smartest
memory, but I kind of understand what you're saying. She doesn't act.
Yeah.
The same
she hasn't lost her memory,
yet.
But she doesn't act. She doesn't act like she has access to the memories of all the past lives or all the memories of all the past lives. But, you know, she's a more fully rounded character, and yet I miss a little bit of that Doctor just like, you know, suddenly the Doctor, he's the smartest man in the room, and he figures everything out, and he's got it all down, and, you know, they play
he's
his theme song. What's that?
Out.
Yeah, what's that piece of music they play when he goes into, like, Doctor mode? Dun, 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 dun. And, like, I was kind of waiting for Jodie to have that moment in this episode, which she kind of never got, which is okay. I mean, I do think she's a more fully realized character. But I'll let you talk, and we can get into some more specifics.
Okay. You know, I will be honest. I still miss Peter Capaldi. I'm not going to lie. I do like Jodie, though. I mean, I think she fits in okay. She's definitely different. I will agree with what you're saying. She's definitely, like, there's a different tone to it, and she is, like, less this is what we're going to do, this is the right answer, and more kind of thinking about it and trying to figure it out as she goes along, which is definitely different. But I don't know. I don't feel like she doesn't fit as a doctor. I just feel like she's different and it doesn't bother me. But, like, you know, if I talked about my favorite episodes or my favorite doctor, I wouldn't say she's my favorite. But, you know, I think that it's working with her. I know a lot of people last year disliked it, that I, you know, and disliked her, and I didn't. I've enjoyed it. But I think people at least seem to be liking her more this year. But, I mean, we're only two episodes in, so I guess we'll see. But I do definitely see what you're saying. And I feel like this year, or not this year, but this group, it's definitely more of the companions solving things, too, and being more involved. Like, in the older ones, it was kind of more like the doctor dragged the companion along, and, you know, they were there and they helped him, but he was, like, you're right, like, he was the mastermind, the one who knew what they were doing, and this, they're more like they all work together, which I don't mind them all working together in that sense. And I have to say, actually, and this is skipping on to the second part a second, I'm going to go back, but one of the things that I actually liked about the second episode was that they were separated, which I would surprise me that I would say that, but I kind of liked that you had the companions figuring everything out on their own and not necessarily needing her for once, or him, her, whatever you want to say, which I think was interesting. And I liked them working together, but aside from that, going back just in general, I don't know, like, I like these. I think that the spy theme was kind of neat. It was a way to do it different without making it too silly, although the second one was funnier than the first one, which, you know, is neither here nor there. I thought they were both good. But there are certain things that they did, and I kind of feel like with what you're saying about her learning things, some of this, since they brought her on kind of does feel a little bit like a reboot. But I just want to mention, because I had this here in some of the stuff I wrote, the one thing that I think is interesting and I was glad they brought back up is they had mentioned at the end of, I think it might have been in the New Year's episode, I can't remember, but that, like, there's no more unit right now. They shut it down and things like that. So all they really kind of had right now was the governments. But I don't know. Obviously, this is about them killing the spies and everything. I liked Stephen Fry's character, C. I wish they would have kept him in longer. Obviously, he died right away. But I did like him, and I think he
was
kind of fun.
Of a bait and switch. Like, there was a big deal made in advance that Stephen Fry was going to be in this episode, and he had, like, you know, he gets killed within 5 minutes of appearing.
Well, I guess the one who plays Barton is somebody who's known in England. I don't know, because I didn't know who he was. But so I don't know, because he was listed, too. But I don't know. I liked it, but I think obviously the biggest part of the premiere is finding out that this guy who, I don't know, I liked his character as it was, and I think that everybody, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, maybe some people guessed it, but I sure had absolutely no idea that he was going to turn out to be the master. And I think what I liked so much about it, and I told you this, is I liked it not so much that 100% of it made sense, but that it was such a surprise and such a shock. They didn't see it coming. It wasn't in the trailers. Like, they've already spoiled some of the characters coming back. It wasn't talked about. It was just, like, the first time, saw it as it happened, didn't expect it. And I really liked that. And after – my arm's going to go off, sorry. After watching it, too, I do think that I don't know how you say his name, Sasha Dewan, that he plays the master. Well, he's definitely more of like a John Sims type master, like really insane. And we'd kind of talked about how this is a previous version of the master, obviously not, you know, after Missy or whatever, when she started becoming, I don't want to say good, but, you know, on the doctor's side. So he's back to being his old self in here. So that sense works. But I also think, especially the first episode, also wanted to mention, is that this is definitely like a huge episode, like they made for the premiere. You know what I mean? Like, there's tons of locations, but they have a plane, they have a motorcycle chase. You know, there's definitely a lot going on, and I think it definitely fit. I would have liked to have seen it in the theater if I could have, but I didn't get to. I was trying to think if there's anything else specific to the first one. I would like to see, and maybe this is dumb, I don't know. I had this discussion with somebody. Like, they dressed up, right? I don't know why, but I would like to see the Doctor in a dress. Is that stupid to say? Like, I know she can't run around in, like this, you know, huge puffy dress or something, but I don't know. I did not like her her short pants tux. I don't know.
Like, I don't like the – I guess the short pants are going to be her thing, and I don't like them. I think
right.
her – we discussed last season that I think her costume is clownish.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. And then for her to go ahead and wear those short pants with her tux, I get, you know how is it the Matt Smith Doctor had a fez, right? That he wore sometimes, or he always said bow ties are cool or whatever, right? So I guess like these short pants are the thing.
But he also, I think it looks better on a man too, is part of it. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I know she's obviously a woman, and I'm not saying she has to dress sexy or be sexy, but I mean they made her a woman, and I feel like they're still making her dress like a man, and not that it matters, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I just felt like they could have dressed her different, not even necessarily a dress, but just looked a little. Not so weird. Let's put it that way. I think it is the short pants, though. I think that's a big part of it. And like I said, we had the plane and everything. I thought the thing at the beginning of the second episode with her helping them to fly the plane and not crash was cool how he found all the clues. But I thought that was pretty obvious what she did, and I was confused why they were confused. She's a time traveler, so obviously she went back and did it later. So... I'm just looking for any more specifics. It's surprising though to have the master. Sorry, I was gonna say so early in this season. Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm surprised also that they made such a huge reveal, a huge development in the first episode, but then by the end of the second episode, I kind of guess why we've got this is gonna be the arc for the season,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
And yeah, I was very surprised when he turned out to be the master. I didn't see it coming. I think mainly because I never dreamed they'd bring the master back in episode one, right?
Right, exactly.
It would never even occur to me. You know, that if you go back and watch it, are there signs? Sure, right? Like, you know, in his house in the outback, there are many signs.
And I didn't. Rewatching the premiere, the only clue I noticed was he did say, you know, look for the spy master, but unless you really knew what was happening, that wasn't really much of a
clue. Well, I mean, he's got all this alien detecting technology in his house,
yeah.
And he's got, like, these clues are there. But
but I don't think there's, like, any outright that you should have guessed it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know anybody who guessed it, but many, many people, you know, if you go back and watch it, yes, the clues are there that he's not just a, you know, maybe not that he's the master, but he's definitely not just some MI6 agent.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Alien of some sort. I hated the aliens, the energy being aliens. I thought they were kind of crappy looking.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, this Doctor Who, since last season, the production values are so much higher, and they're spending, like, more budget, I guess, and having way better effects and sets and traveling, whatever, and I thought that was sort of like a throwback to some crappy old-timey Doctor Who effects. I didn't like them.
I didn't mind them, but what I was going to say, and I told you, I still don't understand, is they made themselves an R image because, you know, just to be smart asses,
yeah.
I guess, for lack of a better description. So why did they think all humans have hats? Or was that just so they didn't look like humans at the beginning of the show? Because I really don't understand that they look like an outline of some man with a hat.
Flower pots on their heads? Yeah.
Yeah, that irritated me. But other than that, I didn't mind them, but I agree with what you said after. A lot of things weren't explained. Like, I guess it was just he found this alien race that was really willing to help him go after the Doctor and was pretty much like, I'll give you this if you do this. There wasn't a lot of connectedness in that. I don't understand with Barton. They said from the beginning he was only 93% human, and then when he supposedly explained in the episode why he was only 93% human, what he said was he tested things and he basically let them test things on him.
It didn't explain anything.
I thought maybe he's part of them, and he said he was proof of concept. So the only thing that I can think is that they took a little bit of his brain and made a hard drive out of it, but didn't but kept him conscious or whatever. Because he said how some people would still be sentient and to run it, and the rest of them wouldn't or whatever. But the fact that they want to kill a whole race just for hard drives is kind of, I'm not so sure about it. It made me think of the Matrix and the batteries. That was the first thing I thought. Because they were spies. Like, I get, yeah, they're intergalactic spies, but there was really no reason for them to attack and kill every human. Like, it just didn't, that part didn't make a lot of sense. And why they brought in the historical figures, I don't know, but I did like them, regardless of that. I thought it was kind of cool how they brought that in. And there was also, they did keep the thread of that Silver Lady or whatever, that, like, animated figure thing. That was throughout the two. I think they did good with keeping that thread going, because if you had, you know, paid attention to the first, you would have known what it was. In the second, it kind of connected it. But there's just certain plot points that didn't make a lot of sense. I think they were put together to make shock value for the Master. And I feel like this, they should have maybe made three episodes, because the second episode has so much into it. Like, okay, yes, we got the tease about the Timeless Child, and obviously that's going to be a mystery this season. She's probably going to go to Gallifrey and all that, so I get why they did it and how they led up to it, but there's a lot going on, and, like, what was it? I guess the big question is, we want to know, is what was so bad that the Master killed them all? I mean, not that he hasn't tried to kill them before, but I don't know. It's obviously some big, horrible thing we don't know yet, we're assuming.
Yeah. So, let me respond a little bit to your first comments, and then, so, I mean, you know, some of the things that I think that were problematic about this episode, like, I still don't know what those aliens wanted, really, by the end of the episode. Like, Barton was going to help them turn all human beings into hard drives. Why? Like, what data? He's like, we can store so much data on 7 billion hard drives. What data? Like, what? I don't, like, really, I truly don't understand what data he wanted to save, why he was doing this, like, what the aliens wanted, why, like, none of it really is resolved or makes any sense to me. Now, many Doctor Who episodes are kind of thin on the resolution there, and you have to, you know, the Doctor, like, as if by magic, kind of, like, he's so smart and figures it out, and you just kind of, like, roll with it, because it's Doctor Who, right? And it's fine. But this was a particularly messy one that I don't understand at all. I have to disagree with when you said earlier that you liked that the companions were separate from the Doctor. I didn't really like it. Okay, what I didn't like is that they have nothing to do. Like, the companions really had very little to do in the second hour except stay alive. They're separate from the Doctor. And then the Doctor gets these two, like, replacement companions with Ada Lovelace and Noor, whatever her name is, the World War II spy. So she gets these two, like, replacement companions that go with her, but they don't really do anything but fly around with her and watch. Like, Ada Lovelace didn't do anything, and Noor, like, loaned the Doctor her equipment, but that was it. Also, how did the Doctor just happen to randomly bump into, like, I like that the Doctor sometimes sees historical people, and there was a particularly good episode of that last year, right, with Rosa Parks, and the partition of Pakistan and all. I mean, there was some great stuff last year, but she randomly bumps into these two super important kick-ass women who don't really, like, didn't really do anything except teach us a little lesson about history, right?
Yeah, I mean, the one that was the spy, I guess, made sense being there just because that's the time period she showed up. But
yeah, but they, like,
that,
randomly pop into her house,
right?
Space, right?
Right, right. But then the thing is, like you said, with Ada, though, there was really no explanation why it was her that they were experimenting on.
Yeah, why were they freezing, paralyzing her and taking her through and bringing her back and, like, no other, like,
they were,
right?
Studying her.
What?
That was the whole answer. They were studying her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that
I
made
get that.
No sense either. So I really didn't, I really didn't feel it was necessary to bring them in to do nothing, to not really play. It's not like they played a key role in that they were the only people that could help the Doctor or whatever. Right. I also
I agree with that.
So, I mean, it was important. I think that we haven't seen the Doctor mind wipe anyone since Donna Noble, maybe. Right.
Well, kind of Clara, but that wasn't exactly a mind wipe, but yeah.
No, the Doctor doesn't really wipe a lot of minds, and wipes two people at once, and, you know, she was kind of a jerk about it, You know, they both beg not to have their mind wiped, but they don't beg like Donna did, but they, you know, don't want to have their mind wiped. Doc's like, sorry, I have to because time, which is kind of crazy because the doctor, like,
yeah, so
doctor
many times
wipe,
he tells people things and doesn't wipe their mind. So yeah, that's
she didn't wipe Vincent
kind of like,
Van Gogh's
why?
Mind, right? She didn't doesn't wipe a
yeah.
lot of minds, and she wipes their minds. And someone pointed out online that Noor in real life she was dead at Dachau within a year. The Nazis captured her, sent her to Dachau, and executed her. And so, like, the doctor tells her the Nazis aren't going to win, don't worry about it, and then wipes her mind.
And
like, if you know, if the doctor knew she was going to be imprisoned at Dachau, could she have let her, like, have the comfort of knowing that the Nazis don't win? Right? Like, why couldn't the doctor let her know if she's going to be dead in a year anyway, how was it going to, like, it was a little, it was just cold. It was just cold of the doctor doing that to
people. That she worked for came, yeah.
She was also very cold. She turns the master into the Nazis, and she turns off the perception filter so they can see that he's a brown-skinned person, which would only, like, make the Nazis abuse him 1 million times worse, right?
Yeah, I know. I kind of question that because she made this point about he had bad company, that he was with them. And I think it was interesting that's where he chose to be with the Nazis. Yeah, but I did think of that because I'm like, she got pissed Ada shot him, right, in the arm. But yet she's sending him to Nazis who basically would have taken him to a concentration camp. Whether he can die or not is not the point. You know,
yeah.
They would have tortured him. And, yeah, I had thought about that. But, I mean, it's just those kind of one of the
especially
ones things about the doctor. You just got
to. Considering that the doctor goes to either World War One or World War Two pretty much almost every season. The doctor goes to World War II all the time, right? Winston Churchill's been on this show like five times. So I don't want to, so, I mean, there were some other things to, I mean, I don't want to nitpick it too much. So as I watched the first episode, I was very uncomfortable when the master told the doctor to kneel and say my name. And she kneels in front of him and says his name, and it was humiliating, and I was uncomfortable with it, and I couldn't really figure out why. And then I read a commentary online, like, would we have seen that if the doctor was a man? Would we have seen, like, a male doctor be humiliated in that way?
I think we might have. Like, I think it actually would have had, to be honest, I think it would have had more impact if he was a man.
Yeah.
Because you're right, it kind of is like, well, you know.
Yeah,
I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I kind of
like
that scene because he's finally like, that's his way of saying, I win, I can prove to you I won, you don't do it, I'll kill people. But I mean, she got him in the end, but yeah, the whole thing with the Nazis was kind of like, you won't let her shoot him in the arm, but yet you're going to do that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I did really like it by the end, so I liked the part where the companions, I continue to think three companions is too many, really, and there's not enough for any one of them to do or whatever. I'm worried about – I continue
to
not love having three companions.
Yeah, usually at least one of them gets left out. Usually it's Graham.
Yeah. I did like the whole part where they're like, we don't know anything about the doctor, and then they ask the doctor some questions, and she sort of hedges and lies a little. You know, she doesn't really tell them. You know, I do – really, you know, I liked the morally conflicted doctor of the past, right? Where the doctor, like, real doctor's done some really horrible things and is responsible for the deaths of, like, millions of people or creatures or whatever, right? And I like when the doctor is, like, feeling guilty and having some morals now and then. And she's not telling them everything, and it's not just because she doesn't know it, right? Like, bad shit happens to her companions sometimes, and if she has 12's memories, then she definitely is probably still very guilt-stricken about Clara and everything, right? And Bill getting turned into a Cyberman.
Yeah, because supposedly he remembered everything about Clara at the end, so yeah.
Yeah.
But
Gallifrey being back. I think it's possible the Master's lying, that he destroyed all of Gallifrey.
I feel like there's more to it than that anyway.
Also, Gallifrey's been destroyed and brought back at least once or twice before. Definitely once. Possibly
maybe once.
Twice, if I remember correctly. Big deal, Gallifrey got destroyed. Like, I mean, for us, right? Because we know the Doctor will probably restore Gallifrey by the end of the season.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, up to, like, the movie, Gallifrey was destroyed, period. It was only because they rewrote that history. And now it's like she saved it, but he destroyed it. I don't know. What I will say is that I do like that Chibnall is, like, messing with the mythology. you know, like changing things up and changing what had previously happened, and we got that before, and I kind of like that idea of, you know, going into the mythology and really digging deep and changing, like, the structure of it, you know, rather than just, like, little things. I just wish they wouldn't, that they wouldn't preview things, especially in the trailers, because, like I said, they've already told, if you watch the trailers, I'm not going to say it in case people don't watch the trailers, but, I mean, they've already told another big enemy coming up, besides, I don't think it's a big spoiler to say the Jadoon's coming up, because that's, like, not, like, a huge, huge thing. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there's another enemy coming up. Just like how before the New Year's episode, they showed that the Daleks were coming back. Like, it just ruins it. And, of course, BBC is notorious for in between the episodes playing commercials that show parts of the end of the episode anyway. So at least when I see them the first time, I don't have to watch
them.
They screw it up.
So I don't want to go too long on this because we have other stuff to talk about tonight, but I do think that as we go through the season, you and I will be debating a lot. Is this version of the Master, is he even after Missy? Was he able to regenerate after Missy? And, like, is he motivated? Is he so mad that he basically turned good and helped the Doctor that now he's, like, going crazy? He's always a psychopath. But, or is he because it's a time travel show, he could be from before Missy. He could be a regeneration. Like, he and the Doctor have never met in these two faces, right? But he could be a different regeneration of the Master. And also, his reappearance brings up that Chibnall is playing with the 12 regenerations. And, you know, when he says everything you thought you knew was a lie, like, could he just be, like, is it going to turn out that 12 regenerations, 12 generations was bullshit? Like, maybe they can regenerate forever and they just thought they only had 12. And who knows? Because you're the last Time Lord. Can't ask anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he regenerated more than 11 or whatever because they gave him more regenerations.
Yes, yeah.
But see, that was the one thing I didn't understand when that happened to begin with.
They gave him a regeneration,
and apparently they gave him 11 new regenerations. So it's confusing to begin with. But that was the other question I had. What I was trying to remember is that Missy, because of the fact that John Sims' Master didn't recognize Missy, Missy, when she died, turned into John Sims, right? Or is it the other way around? No. So I'm trying to remember. Does he turn into her or does she turn into him?
He turns into her.
Okay. Well, either way, she was supposed to be the last regeneration, but they've only shown a few of his regenerations. So I would just assume it was from earlier in the show. But see, that's the whole thing with timey-wimey and everything, because if he already did that, you would think it already would have been changed before. So that's when your head starts to hurt. So the only other thing I wanted to mention about this episode is I totally missed something the first time I watched it. I don't know why, but it didn't occur to me until she actually outright pretty much said that hut, like his house or whatever, that was his TARDIS. Because I don't know, like, for whatever reason, I didn't get it, because basically that's what they found in the town. They're like, well, this is anomalous or whatever, shouldn't be there. And then she says, like, she used his to travel. Like, that's how she got around at the end of the episode when she went back to his house.
Yeah,
and that's
like,
why
the
it was flying in the end, or in the first episode. I didn't get the whole, like, it's in a twister
it's
flying in the air, and they're making, when they're making reference to The Wizard of Oz, I don't know if it was supposed to occur to you or not, but now they go back and like, okay, that's why it was spinning in the air. Like, that makes more sense, you know? So
yeah, the Doctor's TARDIS is broken. That's why it's stuck looking like a phone box. You know how it's broken?
I get that. I just meant I didn't understand that he was, like, I didn't understand that his house was actually his TARDIS until, like, later on in the show. Like, that's why it was floating in the first episode. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
You might not have been supposed to at that point. I don't know. But I was after, like, I get it now. Like, I should have gotten that before. Yeah.
So, I think we'll be debating a lot about which regeneration he is and, like, are they going to have, you know, new, more regenerations? Did the Time Lords give the Master more regenerations, or did they just tell him they gave more regenerations because they knew we had more regenerations?
Or the Master
because
could not
lying.
Even have more regenerations. It's kind of hard to tell because they're both on different timelines. And I don't think they've shown even near as many. There's going to have to be
a way for them to get more regenerations because the doctor has limited regenerations too, right? And they have to find a way for the doctor to be able to regenerate forever so the show can go on forever.
Right. But I'm saying as for the Master, if we haven't seen all his faces, it could be from any point in time was all I was
saying.
Yes,
it could,
like,
but I think we're going to be finding that out. I think we're going to find out more about regenerations this season.
We will find out. Nope.
Yeah. So, anyway. All right.
Nope. I was trying to think of the, I'm curious, like, obviously everybody is what Timeless Chad means, but the other thing is I think they're eventually going to go to Gallifrey, but obviously not right now. So the question also is, since that's like sort of more the mythology, how long is it going to be till we get back to that? It might be a while. You know, they're probably going to have some weekly episodes. I'm curious if they're going to be like two-parters like they were the 1 year or if they're going to be all separate or kind of You know, I like the mythology, but I also like having the individual episodes too because I feel like they have more replay value when you go back and rewatch them.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. It's on every Sunday now, so I believe they've already finished filming. Hopefully we'll get a Christmas special this year as well as the season.
I don't know if we will.
Long. That would be nice.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's that then. I don't think I have anything else to add to that specifically. Oh, other than the one thing I was going to say is when they were journalists, how come I don't get invited to parties like that?
Oh.
That's what I was thinking. Like, when they have to leave early, I don't get invited to a birthday party. No, but I think that was my only other comment. That, and it was funny with the I also enjoyed their spy tech, like Graham dancing with his laser shoes and things like that. But
yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I don't think I've seen anything else you guys have, but I did want to mention at least
did you watch Manifest last night?
About Dracula.
No,
I did not. I'm way behind. No, I haven't only seen a couple episodes so far. I'm way behind.
Okay.
But I did want to mention about Dracula before I went really quick. I don't know if either of you are necessarily even interested in that. I didn't know whether I'd like it or not, but since it was Moffat and Gaddis, I wanted to watch it. And I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked it, and it makes me want to go back and find out more about the original because it's definitely different. But it's like three episodes. They're pretty much double episodes. But each one's almost like its own little contained mini movie in a way. Because I don't know how much you guys know about Dracula or whatever, but the first episode is about Harker and him, like, being his prisoner and Dracula turning him. But then the second episode is pretty much after that and about him putting his dirt on the Demeter ship and, like, the people he kills and stuff on the way of getting over to Britain or where I think it was England. And going over there. And then the third episode, which is what's interesting, because there's this whole other thread they added about this nun who's a Van Helsing, who he actually bites and later kills, which is that part was surprising. But the third episode actually opens, like they had blown up the ship, so he spent some time at the bottom of the ocean. So when the third episode opens, he wakes up, and it's actually the present, and it's like a descendant of Van Helsing and stuff. So I thought that was kind of interesting because you definitely feel like after the first two episodes, like this is told, you know, everything advertised it being like a Victorian era show. And it's like, okay, now it's in the present. So I think that was really interesting. I think that if they wanted to, they could kind of, because, you know, just like anything else, they don't always completely explain the end of something. And I feel like they could go back a little bit and have something else happen than did at the end and maybe continue this. And it could be like a present day Dracula, which I think would be really interesting. Does it have to be? No, but I think it could be, but I don't know. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't it. I liked it a lot. It's got very dark, dry humor, but it's not like, you know, funny. It's just like sarcastic funny, but yeah, it's pretty good. I really liked it. So, and like I said, that's only three episodes, and that's on Netflix now. That was started on BBC, but it arrived on Netflix right after that. So that's it.
All right. And what's it on?
Netflix. Well, on Netflix. Like I said, it was on BBC One, but now it's on America.
Right.
In the USA, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Put on the list.
All right.
Great.
Well, I don't know if there's anything. I don't think I've seen anything else you guys were going to talk about. So, unfortunately,
right.
I will go
talk
see
about
Star
Manifest.
Wars. That has been my plan. It just hasn't happened. And
all right.
Eventually
that's your job this week, is to go see Star Wars.
Yes. Well, when you have family and everything over, it's kind of hard to. And I was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway, I will.
Okay.
Well, I will talk to you guys next week. Have a good night. Thanks.
All right. Have a good week.
Everybody listen
right.
to us.
Good
the
night,
one
Jamie.
About Doctor Who. Good
yep.
night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, AJ. So we have two things. Maybe we should talk about Manifest first because it won't take as long.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let me start by saying
start.
For Manifest.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. I realize they're picking up right where they left off. And you and I had both speculated it was probably Michaela that got shot. But
yeah.
I don't know. Do you hate Jared in a loathing way as much as I do?
Oh my God. I don't recall hating Jared quite this much last year, but he was a total dick the entire episode. And like, he shot her and now he's mad at her for being mad that he shot her, basically. And he's being a jerky, jealous boyfriend. He, like, what? He's not a boy. Yeah. Yeah. I hate him. He really
yeah.
was loathsome. They made him a bigger, I think they jerkified him so that we'll root for Zeke. He wasn't this jerky before, right?
Well, he was, but not, I mean, he was even worse in this episode. Like, it was leading up to it. I mean, and you know what I liked about the episode, though, is she called him out on it. She's like,
yeah.
You're the reason I got shot. You know, she's like, you know, if you hadn't been such a jerk, I wouldn't have gotten shot. And he's like, oh, you're going to put this on me. You're so blinded by him. And I'm like, and she's like, you're insane. She's like, you don't even realize what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He is totally, he just doesn't see it. He is so engrossed in himself. And that was the theme for this week, because I also, I was warming up to Grace at the end of last season. So
yeah.
This much, oh, this is, it doesn't matter if it's Danny's baby. This is our time. If it turns out to be his baby, then we'll deal with it then. Are you kidding me?
He's going to be
so
pissed.
Because you want to fix things with your husband, you're going to not tell the man who might be the the child's father, and he has to miss out on all this pre-birth stuff because you want to fix your marriage. I get it's an unusual, complicated situation, but Danny deserves
also,
more than that.
He apparently lives in their neighborhood because they run into him in the middle of New York City, but, you know, or wherever they live. And if you're going to, sooner or later, he's going to see that you're pregnant and he can do math.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, he's going to, like, as soon as he finds out she's pregnant, he's going to know it's potentially his. And, you know, Ben, who also is a character that I've hated at times over the past, Ben is the guy who's like, maybe we should tell him. And she's like, no, let's not, like, right? Ben's like, no, really, I think we should tell him. Ben has been really understanding about Danny all along. I agree with him that Grace should have told him that she was pregnant and had a miscarriage. And really, the whole thing was weird. Like, he really has been the good guy in all of this. And Grace, she's kind of a, and it surprised me that, Olive was kind of disappointed in Grace also. It didn't surprise me that she was disappointed, but Olive was like, what? Like, you're not going to tell Danny that it could potentially be his baby? What? Like, Olive also was, you know, but then she pulled this, like, teenager business, and she's like, I can't, like, anything be normal for our family, which was kind of funny. But Olive, too, it surprised me a little bit that Olive was, I mean, last season, Olive really missed Danny. She loved Danny and really missed him and was really conflicted about her father coming back, right? But she seems to pretty much be over it now. She didn't seem to be all that, you know, nice to Danny. In fact, she was kind of, I thought maybe she was going to tell Danny that the mother was pregnant. She's like, well, things are, it's not boring at our house.
I think that was her intention. And then Grace Doctor. You know, kind of veered around it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think she was going to tell him. And I guess she's excited, and maybe she can't do math and doesn't realize that it could potentially be Danny's baby. Now, Grace being pregnant and it potentially being Danny's baby puts in perspective how short a time they have been back from the crash, right? Like, she's only 2 months pregnant, and if it could potentially be Danny's, that means they're only 2 months, you know, back.
Right.
So it kind of, like, puts in perspective how fast this is all moving for everybody. So the mystery of the week was a little kind of a letdown in the end. Like, so you know the missing couple was, like, all into, like, Bible verses and stuff like this? I thought they were going to be – do you remember last year there's a guy who, like, became a preacher, and there's, like, a bunch of religious zealots who think that the returned people from the flight are – like angels or saints or something like that, right? And I thought it was going to turn out to be linked to that somehow, but it just turned out that they're like struggling with their visions, callings or whatever they're called, right? They were having a calling and misinterpreted it and decided to kill themselves. So I don't know. What did you think of the mystery of the week, the case of the week?
I think it's actually going to lead up to something more. Like, I think this is kind of a jumping off point because the vision was very, you know, she has the vision when she gets shot, and it's very vague and very large, you know, seeing the passengers. And then that weird bit with her seeing it again when she touches Cal at the end, and somehow Zeke's having it too.
So she sees
Zeke there. So I'm not really – I feel like it's a jumping off point. I mean, they really jumped right into this. I mean, you know –
Yeah, they did.
One thing, I think, I you know, all these different relationships and everything, it's funny because the people they're like pushing together that they want us to root for have no chemistry.
Yeah.
But I feel like Ben and Sandy have – more chemistry than him and Grace.
Well, so does the psychiatrist.
You know, and
yeah.
And I don't know that we're supposed to feel that way necessarily.
Yeah.
But they're kind of going in this direction now, but Mikhail and Zeke have a lot more chemistry than her and Jared ever did. I actually yelled at the TV at one point. I was like, why don't you go home to your wife? To Jared.
Yeah, right? That's right. He's still married to her best friend.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I totally forgot about the wife. Yeah.
Yep. So there's that. But I was going somewhere with this. Oh, you know what's funny? I kept looking at Cal the whole episode. And, it's difficult with young actors because they're going to get older. They're going to have growth spurts, which I think is part of the reason they did the 2 months later thing. Because that kind of helped.
Yeah.
Because at one point, Artie turned to me and goes, is he wearing a wig or is that his hair? I was like, that's his hair. It's 2 months later. But you know
it's
what it is? Walt. He looks older. That's exactly what I thought about. But he looks older.
Yeah.
And I think that's
He was like a little kid before. Now he's like a tween.
Yeah. And it's kind of throwing it a little bit. But where was I going with... Ben's stupidity. You know, just when we start warming up for Ben again, it's like you're this master sleuth all of a sudden. You know, you're going around and you think, you know, you've got this big wall of weird and, you know, you're doing this and that and everything and you're putting pieces together and you're helping people and that is. And you walk right up to the mystery van and start screaming at it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm talking to the TV, I'm going, act like you don't see them, go back in the house, go out the back door, go down a few houses, cut through somebody's yard, and come up behind the van. Don't just walk up to them yelling, hey, who are you people? Like, idiot.
Right?
Now, it turned out to be not that bad of a thing.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, and you and I both said we were not convinced he was dead, which I can't remember the FBI guy's name.
I can't remember his name either. He's from the NSA, I think, not the FBI, right? And he supposedly blew up in that
was
house
it the
where
NSA?
Jared almost blew up.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought
he almost
thought
blew
they
up
were
in
FBI, but
they were in like a basement
whatever
or a cave or something, wherever they were, yeah. Jared survived,
yeah.
He blew up supposedly, yeah. Yeah, and you and I both at the time said there's no way he's dead. This is like way too big a thing to be like, you know,
yeah.
Over.
You don't see a body.
Yeah. I give them credit for, as you said, jumping right in, and there was a lot happening in this episode. Like, the case of the week was kind of, you know, boring because there wasn't really much time for the case of the week. There was, like, so much other stuff going on in this episode. And so it was jam-packed, and that was good. I'm glad to see NSA guy back. I think I'm very disappointed in, okay, that woman, the bad lady who is pretending to be a psychiatrist. Her name is, like, the General or the Admiral or something like that, right?
That's not her.
That's not her? She works for her.
That's not the major. She might work for the major, but that's not the major.
She works for the major. But she's not a real psychiatrist. She's a fake psychiatrist. Remember?
No.
At the end of last season,
yeah.
Somebody,
no,
like,
yet.
Goes to the shrink, and it's a fake shrink. I feel like
yeah.
This is, like, uncharacteristically, like, long con for them. Like, the bad guys have throughout the entire show, like, they brazenly kidnap all these passengers, keep them in a lab, experiment on them, they, like, blow people up, they do all this shit, and now suddenly she has the patience to be a fake psychiatrist for 2 months and be like, oh, well, you talk about Ben a lot, you must, like, she's trying to get info on Cal. Like, why did he just kidnap Cal, right? Like, remember last year the kid was walking out of the house by himself all the
yeah.
time? Like, it's a part, like, I'm not sure where this is going, that she's trying to pump Zombie for information on Ben.
But
when, what?
Maybe they changed their tactics because the aggressive approach wasn't working for them.
Well, it wasn't, that's for sure. yeah. So, and I guess, do you think, okay, so you know how Cal keeps saying you and Zeke are supposed to be together? Like, I feel like it's so blatantly love interest that Cal doesn't mean as a love interest.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're definitely setting
agree.
Up Zeke as a love interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's too obvious. That's not what Cal means when he says that.
Yeah.
He means
little,
you have to,
yeah,
he
I,
means
I think,
like, yeah, like, I think he means literally you have to be together, like, on a certain date or time or something like that when it happens, whatever it is, right? I don't think he means, like, you have to get married because he's your one true love or something like
yeah.
that. That could still be Jared if he saw us being a dick. I don't know. Maybe you go with Danny.
You know,
I like Danny.
I like Danny, too. My, I tell
he's
you,
the
my
nicest person on the show.
Every time I saw Jared, my blood boiled.
He really, I think they went out of their way to make him less likable, really, so that we'll root for Zeke. And I think they're trying
you know
to
what?
Set us up to root for Zeke as a love interest, and they needed to make Danny less attractive.
I don't know. I don't know, because...
not Danny. Jared,
like,
whatever his name
the episodes, I know what you mean. They start the episode with him, and he's like, officer down. He's like, yes, I have the suspect in custody. You guys were fighting over the gun. It was your fault.
No.
And
I know.
And the best one was he had the gun to hurt himself. He wasn't planning on hurting anybody else.
Well, and I don't
Jared
understand.
Jealous
they're,
jerk.
Yes. And they're taking Jared's word for it and not taking Mikhail's word for it. Like, Mikhail, like, asks the captain to, like, drop the search for Zeke, and she's like, you know, they're like, no, we have to get him, whatever. And I'm like, wait, usually in a normal case, when the victim says, no, it was an accident, and Jared shot me, right? Because Jared grabbed the gun, and it went off, right? So I don't understand why, like, in any normal police case, wouldn't they be like, what, like, she's a witness, and her word, you know, probably means more than either of those guys, and I like it's a little dumb that they're not taking Michaela's work, you know, taking her testimony her statement into consideration, because she surely made a statement saying it was an accident.
It's partly her own fault, because like the captain said, she, you know, captain's like, when you first gave your statement, you said things were foggy and you weren't really sure, you know, because you'd just been shot. So it's kind of hard to, I mean, what she should have said was, you know, as I recover, I'm remembering more. But that's not what she said.
And certainly the police would want to question Zeke and get his side of the story, and running was not a good thing. But, you know, for Jared to immediately call in and say, I have the suspect in custody, like, you're also the suspect, Jared. You're a suspect, too. You both shot her, you know? Jared is being such a jerk trying to say it's totally Zeke's fault. If he hadn't busted in the house, it never would have happened. Like, maybe Zeke legally can have a gun, right? Like, Jared was really, really the ultimate worst Jared this episode.
Yeah.
Really bad. Yeah.
I mean, he annoyed the hell out of me last season. But this was just, it was more of the annoyance. That's what it is.
Everything he said had an attitude, and he's definitely acting like, you know, when like you're in high school and you break up with someone and then you have to be a jerk for them for the rest of your life and you can't be in the same room and you're mean to them. And like, he's acting like he like got dumped by his high school girlfriend. He married her friend. Like, she's the one who's brokenhearted. He married her friend. You know, and was going to stay married, you know. I wish he had, too. And, like, he's mad and jealous of Michaela. Like, Michaela can date her. I mean, she did, just before then, she did tell Jared that she loved him still. And I think they had sex, right? But still, like, he's married. She can date whoever she wants.
Yeah. You know what, though? Like, I mean, not only is she a grown woman, she's a cop, too.
Yeah.
She can clearly take care of herself.
I do hate how every time she's in that police station, everybody treats her like some little girl and not like a police detective that she is, right? She's an NYPD detective. She's a badass.
She really, she shouldn't be a detective, but...
she shouldn't. Her brother's a way better detective. So... So it was, it actually, despite this ranting, it was a pretty good episode.
Oh, yeah. It's just Jared that we don't like. The rest of the episode was great. You know, I mean, I thought it was a really good starting off point.
Yeah. And now we have someone to focus our hate on.
I was annoyed with Grace, but I don't hate her again yet.
Yeah. Maybe she'll stay.
But I feel like I might.
Good grief.
I feel like I might end up hating her again.
Yeah. It's possible.
If she's going to be anything like, you know, it's like she went from one extreme to the other. You know, Grace went from, you know, just being awful. And now that she's kind of on board with everything, she's a little better. But the whole Danny thing, it's just like, I feel like she's trying too hard to make it work with Ben.
Well, and,
like
Ben is, he's so nice. He gives her the benefit of the doubt every time and lets her get away with everything. Like, Ben reacted exactly how I'd expect Ben to react, that it might be Danny's baby, to say, let's get tested. He has a right to know.
Right.
Like, he's not, I don't understand why, like, what Grace is afraid of telling Ben, because he gives it, like, he never once has, like, opposed her. I mean, they got separated for a little while, but that was really because of Grace, not because of him. He accepts everything from her. He's not going to leave her. He's not going to yell at her. He's barely going to be mad at her. Like, she could eat. I don't understand why she needs to keep things from him.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get why she didn't tell him about the miscarriage, because, you know, it's not a conversation you need to have. Once she found out she was pregnant, then she should have known that might come up at a doctor visit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Although,
I don't totally blame her for that, but the minute she was like, this is our time, we'll tell Danny if we have to. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, selfish watch?
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, yeah, she's just bad. Bad, bad character. So maybe she'll be able to, maybe she'll be better. I mean, I do think they're going to, I mean, I do think they're going to tell Danny, and he's going to continue to be a part of their lives. And this, it's going to turn out to be his baby, because they've cast this, like,
oh,
he's the biggest name actor on the show. There's no way he's not, like, he's going to continue to be in their lives and be on the show.
Yeah. Danny's totally going to be the daddy.
Yeah. Although, really, I don't know if I care. This show does not, like, that to me, that's not, like, compelling or anything I really care that much about. They are not, this show doesn't do the family, this kind of relationships the way, like, the way Emergence does them so well, right? Like, if Alex had a girlfriend who was going to have a baby on Emergence, I'd be really concerned and interested in up in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on this show, like, who cares? Like, I don't care. I want to see another Vision. They don't do it as well on this show.
No.
No,
they really don't.
Yeah. So, the actress who plays Grace, I forget her name. She has a Greek name. Her name is, like, I don't know, something Greek. She's of Greek descent. I do not recognize her on the show. I I'm pretty sure I've never seen her before. I've seen her on Manifest, right? So, a couple weeks ago, I turn on a show on Amazon to watch. I put on the first season of The Expanse, and she was on The Expanse.
Was she really?
She was Thomas Jane's, like, partner. Not partner. His partner was Jay Hernandez from Magnum PI. But she was one of the other cops that he worked with who was on a lot. Like, he met her in the bar, and he was always, like, trying to get her to help him and stuff. And when I put on The Expanse, I was like, holy cow, that's Grace from Manifest. She's so much better. She has a personality. on The Expanse. Yeah, totally have not recognized her. I mean, she was only in The Expanse for, like, you know, half of the first season until Thomas Jane, like, leaves series and, you know, adventure ensues. But anyway, yeah, she was on it. So how do you like my segue there?
That was awesome. Very good segue.
Yeah. Yes. So speaking of The Expanse,
So
I watched the whole thing.
So good.
So we're going to talk. We'll just talk about the whole season. We're not going to recap this week by week. We're just going to, like, talk about the season right now. So if anybody hasn't seen the whole season of The Expanse, hang up now.
Yeah, I couldn't recap it week by week, even if I wanted to.
Yeah, because you watched it all in one
when,
in like 2 days.
Exactly. No, it was over a couple. It may have been over a period of a week, but there was points where I watched two or three episodes at a time.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, I fell asleep twice in episode one. I tried to watch episode one. I fell asleep.
Oh,
the second time I fell asleep. The third time, I should not have put a fire stick in my bedroom, because watching TV in bed is not good for me. I just go right to sleep.
Yeah,
it was not because it was boring. Oh, yeah, falls asleep watching in bed. Yeah, I did not fall asleep because it was boring or I was not interested. I just fell asleep because I was watching in bed. I thought it was a great season, but very, very different from last season in its scope and storytelling. But I thought it was good. I thought it was good. It was a very, like, it felt like a smaller story to me. So, like, you know, we have the crew of the Rossi is stuck on this plant on Terra Nova, stuck in between these settlers and the RCE. And it felt very like, you know, last season they were flying all over, like every episode they're flying to a new planet or asteroid or space station or something. And they're all over the place. And like the fate of humanity is in the balance. And this season was more about really their own fate was in the balance. They were like, maybe all going to die. I mean, yes, the protomolecule, but it's until very near the end, it felt smaller. And then we had all of our main characters separated. I mean, ultimately, I think it is a huge story that all these threads are going to come together next season, probably. I think, right? Don't you? What did you think?
It depends. It depends. Depends on what the plan is. As we know, the Expanse was saved by Amazon because this, I don't know if it's the CEO or the president or somebody high up at
Jeff
Amazon
Bezos.
absolutely loves the show.
And the books. Jeff
So
Bezos has read the books.
yes. So depending
Yeah.
on how long he wants it to be around and how, you know, what their contract is,
Yes.
it, you know, I think that'll kind of shape how it's going to go. Also, you know, they're kind of sticking close to the books. I mean, yeah, you told me that they did the Bobby storyline,
It's from a
pulled it
different.
from somewhere else. Simply otherwise Bobby would have had nothing to do all season.
Yeah, the book number
So I
four
think, you
takes
know.
place like entirely on Terra Nova, and
I
Bobby's
mean,
not
I
in it.
think, right. I think a big part of season five is going to be the race to stop Marcos. And the whole, you know, and now that we've met Naomi's kid, who
Philip,
is
yeah.
apparently a chip off the old block because he thinks his dad's the greatest thing in the world because he didn't have a mother to raise him and be like, no, you're
Terrorist,
wrong.
yeah.
So let me just start though by saying I absolutely love Amos.
Oh, I love him
When the
too. I
Expanse
love
first
Amos.
started, you know, the great thing about this crew is when the show first started, first of all, Holden was not anybody's friend. Nobody liked Holden. Least of all Naomi.
Oh,
She was
yeah.
friendly with him. And you know, I mean Amos, I thought Amos was gonna kill Holden on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Alex was constantly being snide towards him. You know, and they're all from different backgrounds, all different walks of life, you know. I mean you've got a Belter, two Earthers, and a Martian, you know. But
Yeah.
Holden and Amos being the two Earthers couldn't be more different, you
Yeah.
know. And now they're a family and they constantly refer to each other as such, and you know, they threaten people like, that's my family, and if you mess with them, I'm gonna come after you, which they ended up taking out what's his face at the end there, the jackass.
Oh yeah,
But
the guy from
Amos,
Torchwood.
Amos, like, he's so matter of fact, and he's, you know, on a lot of shows, like a character like Amos might seem one dimensional, but he delivers the lines in such a way that they're just, it's just great. Like when him, after him and Wei had sex, and then, but Wei is still backing up the jerk off and everything, and she's like, you know, she's like, if I have to shoot you, I will. And Amos is like, so are we not fucking anymore? And she's like, well, no. And he's like, all right then, I'll see you later.
A point in the season when she goes to him, you're so weird. Because he is. But he's awesome.
And then
Yeah, I.
he has that scene where he confronts the guy and he's
Mertree.
like, you know, I have a feeling, yeah, I kept forgetting his name for some reason. I kept forgetting his name while I was watching the damn show.
Because Amos
And
calls
he's
him by
like,
the wrong name every single time he spoke to him.
that's probably
Calls
why.
him a different name
And
every
he
time
says,
he addressed him.
when he says to Amos, he says, I have a feeling you and I are going to go at it eventually. Amos goes, I'm free now.
Yeah.
He's just so great.
He is really great. He's so, and you know, we know that Amos has a soft spot for children and broken people, because of his abusive childhood. And like, he's so great with that little blind kid, right? Like they put in these great moments that really like if you hadn't seen. So I think if you hadn't seen the whole previous shows, you could have joined in this season from scratch, probably. Like Jamie could just watch the season and be caught up, I think. But and so we know this about Amos, but they put in these like nice little moments that really like humanize him and round him out for people who are not, you know, I mean, if you're not familiar with him, he had great moments with people. With Melba too, like in episode one where Melba calls up and like thanks him for basically giving her the choice to kill herself.
Right.
If she so chose, which she didn't in the end. I find it interesting that she called. It makes me know that she probably will be a character again in future seasons.
Yeah, that's my thought too.
It's the only reason to have her call Amos is to remind us that she's alive, so in case we see her again. I mean, I guess there were like three things going on. So the story on the planet, on Terra Nova, I thought was pretty good. Of course, at the end of it, I thought, so the doctor, who's not a doctor, the biologist or whatever she is, who had to be the doctor by the end, I thought she's obviously not a very good she's not a medical doctor. She's not very good at it because she's like testing Holden's blood and trying to find a cure. And it never, like the first thing, I went to the dentist today. They said to me, are you taking any medications? Like, it's the first thing every single doctor asks you always.
Right.
Are you taking any medications? And she never thought to ask him if he was taking anything. And it turns out, like, he's taking cancer drugs. Yeah, they're gonna, you know, kill bacteria in his eyes. So, but I can't blame her because she's not a medical doctor. She's a like xenobiologist or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know who the actress is, right? That's Lindy Greenwood. She was Jenny on what you call it, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, she was Jenny. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm like Lindy Greenwood. How do I know her? She was Jenny. Yeah. I'm sorry I couldn't put two and two together. Thank you for doing that for me. nice to see her. And there was a character, you know, the loudmouthed belter that Murtry shot, the first guy he shot. Murtry shoots the guy with kind of the long hair. That guy was on Lost Girl. They must be shooting this show in Canada because there's a bunch of people I recognize who like have been on sci-fi shows in Canada a lot. So there was a bunch of like people popping through this, but Lindy Greenwood, so when it ended, I wondered if she's going to continue to, I know that she's going to stay on Terra Nova to like do research or whatever, but I kind of wondered if we would see that character maybe next season. I thought that
I have no idea where next season's going to go, so it's possible.
No. I mean, she and Holden had a very nice rapport. They have good chemistry as actors together.
Yeah.
But, you know, I noticed a real change in Naomi and Holden are saying things like, I love you all the time and being like a real normal couple, which was not their thing really before. But now he's going to like introduce her to one of his mothers. He has like six mothers or something like that. They're always saying I love you and things. So that was a little weird, but normal. It seemed normal. They have good chemistry too, those two. I thought the terrorist mom was going to maybe be a love interest for Alex.
Yeah, he definitely liked her. And then he found out she was married and he was kind of like, oh, okay. And he kind of backed off, but then there was still something there, you know. I thought they had a nice repertoire and bond when they were talking, you know, when they were talking and she was talking about how she screwed up trying to keep her family safe and he's talking about how he lost his family, you know, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, nope, they're still there. I'm just not a part of it anymore.
Yeah.
They got to find it.
Yeah,
and you know what, though? I'm still rooting for Alex and Bobby. I know they didn't have any time together this season, but there was that moment where they cut space with each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Two Martians. I think they could be a good couple. Those two. They have a rapport for sure. And I agree with you. They're a couple to root for. So speaking of Bobby, she has this total other storyline. Bobby's life has pretty much gone to shit since she saved the world. Or since she helped to save the world and save Christian's life and look what she got for it. Court-martialed, lost her pension, shitty job, everyone's treating her like shit, and it turns out her entire planet became like completely corrupt while she was in the Marines.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's going to be the interesting thing is, you know, because that's definitely tied into the Marco storyline. I think it's going to be interesting because there's always these, like, comments and little innuendos about how Mars isn't what it used to be. And I think it's going to be interesting as next season to find out exactly what that means. You know, I think we're going to find out that somebody of importance is going to be in league with Marcos, I think.
Yes.
Because it's kind of going that way.
All that stealth tech that Bobby's boss is selling is going to Marcos. Like, Marcos has multiple buyers who are buying this stuff, right? That's how he bought his, like, invisible slingshot or whatever it is that he used to throw a rock at Earth.
You know what was interesting about the storyline was, at first, like, I was like, you know, I'm like, Bobby, you know, I'm thinking, there's no way Bobby's actually in with this crew. But I gotta say, the more I learned about them, and the more they said, I gotta say, I'm, you know, they kind of reminded me of, oh Jesus, Continuum. What was the group? The quote unquote villains.
What are they called?
Liberate.
Yeah, they.
Liberate.
Liberate. Yeah, Liberate. Yeah.
They kind of reminded me of Liberate a little bit because, you know, the more I learned and they talked and everything, I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, they're not. He's not wrong, you know? He realizes what's happening with Mars. He realizes there's more, you know, with all these rings, there's more out there. Things are changing, and, you know, he's like, you know, when he's talking about the stuff that they're scrapping, he's like, people can use this stuff, you know? We're just throwing it away and disintegrating it and whatever, you know?
Yeah.
This stuff still has practical use for people. You know?
Yeah.
Because there's people that, you know, people that aren't as well off as some other people could be, you know, benefiting from this stuff. So he wasn't, you know, like when he gave her that speech, I was kind of like, you know, but at first, my first thought was I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, it's going to turn out Bobby's undercover or something, you know, and everything. But as it went, I went, she ain't undercover. She's actually down with these people. And the funniest thing to me was the young girl whose name is failing me. I kept referring to her as Baby Garza.
She is a Baby Garza. She's totally Baby Garza. She looks just like Garza from Continuum. And Garza also had a bad attitude and a sneer on her face at all times.
And
as does this woman. So I lost track a little bit about the drug dealing storyline because as the season begins, Bobby's nephew is like cooking drugs, and this is the girl got him into it. But then once we start to get into it, the crime boss, who is their boss, whose name I forget,
he's dead.
He's not a drug dealer. He's dealing tech, and he's like a good guy who I don't think would be like the drugs just sort of went away. Like, drug dealing just sort of, like, went away somehow and wasn't the thing. And they all turned out to be, like, good people, right, who only, like, would break your neck by accident. They were, like, more Ocean's Eleven-y, like, Robin Hood-y kind, you know, they're, like,
Well, like I was saying, they're, you know, kind of like Liberate, where they weren't wrong, but their methods might not have been the best.
Well, and in the end, it turns out that terrorists are buying all the stuff they're selling, right? Like, you know, they're like, oh, we're not going to hurt anyone. It's just stealth tech that people are going to use to, like, get into the belt, get into the rings and, like, go live a life somewhere. But no, it turns out Marcos was buying all of it so he could throw an asteroid at the Earth and destroy it. Which I'm sure won't happen, but that looks to be probably a big plot of next season that they have, like, so that, I don't know if it'll be, like, hours or days or weeks before that reaches the Earth, but that'll be a thing. And so we had the storyline where Christian was running for Secretary General. It's funny to think of. And she loses the election, right? And, like, who do you want to be in charge when a giant asteroid is hurtling towards the Earth? Christian or the new girl, whose name I forget? I want to call her, like, Molly or Maureen or something, but that's not her name.
Molly Gal.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
well,
I would want Christian to be in charge.
At no point did I think Christian was going to win this election.
No.
It's the first time she's ever actually had a run against anybody. And she was, you know, and she was also the reluctant leader, you know. We know how much we love our reluctant leaders.
Yes.
But I got to say, I said it when we talked about the first episode about Christian, but I got to say, thank God this show is on a network like this and off of sci-fi, because sci-fi doesn't really push the envelope the way that Amazon can. And she is just incredible. I mean, it really, really opens up for her to be who she is. I mean, Christian was always snarky and rude and kind of mean, you know? But being on Amazon, it's like they open the floodgates for her. You know? They're like, they told her, go at it, have fun, and, you know, just don't hold back. I mean, she was, some of the shit she said made me laugh out loud, and it was some of the rudest shit she's ever said. Just like,
and
it doesn't feel forced or anything, because it's her, it's who she is.
Yeah, like that crude language is in keeping with her character, and I think you're spot on when you say that it, like, opened her character up to be who she is, because, like, I believe every word of it. It's not at all like, you know, sometimes you watch a show and they put it in just for, you know, effect or shock value or because they can, but it really does fit her character. I agree with you. I agree with you that I expected she would lose. I do think I was a little surprised that the husband is, okay, the husband's not leaving her, but the husband definitely is like, no, you go on vacation. The husband is like, still, he can't reconcile that she states that attack on that ship for political purposes. It's so funny that I watched it on Sunday. Is Sunday the very day that our president, like, launched an attack for political purposes? The husband is very, you know, he's very disgusted and disappointed in Christian that she did that. And I'm like, you've been married. Like, I think it's totally in character, and I'm not at all surprised she did it. He's been married to her for like 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he's surprised that she did this. And he's estranged a little bit from her because of how, like, this is who she is. I'm sure she's done shit like that before.
Well, it's not so much the attack on the ship as it is what the aftermath. Using their son's, you know, their son dying in the war, you know, connects with everybody, and then she leaked that footage. She leaked the footage from that's
Terra Nova.
Off with the leaking of the footage. Yeah, leaking the footage from Terra Nova. That's what really pissed him off. You know, and the fact that she basically used their son's memory for political gain. You know, the attack on the ship. I was a little confused by the whole thing. I mean, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't in that situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you
I mean,
blow the whole thing out of the sky. I mean, at least
kill everyone.
She wanted to try and save the innocent people on the ship. It did not work out that way, but she wanted to at least try, so it's like, you can't really fault her for that. I mean, It's a no-win decision. You either blow up a bunch of people or you try and save them. She would have been better off with option one because of the way it turned out, and you wouldn't have lost the Marines at least, but...
But you would have killed innocent people, and they would have used that against her anyway. And as far as, like, using their son, I mean, I didn't read it that... It depends if you believe that Christian threw away her prepared speech and spoke from the heart in that moment, and that she spoke of her son, you know, in, when she was speaking personally of mourning and pain? Or do you believe she threw away that it was a scripted moment? Throwing away the script was, like, calculated, and that she didn't speak from the heart, that she gave, like, the greatest performance of her life in that moment.
Oh, she actually,
and it was,
she absolutely did.
Yeah.
And she admitted mm-hmm. it to her. She admitted it when her husband confronted her.
Mm-hmm. She's like, "You're the one who told me to play the game. You're the one who told me to let them see me."
Yep.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen is that Molly Gow is going to turn out not to be up to the job when the Earth is about to be annihilated by an asteroid, which seems kind of ridiculous and can't really be, like, perhaps that problem will be dealt with swiftly, because it seems very I've seen that movie at least two or three times, right? And so I can't believe that, you know, I mean, I saw it with Ben Affleck in it. I saw it with Taya Leone in it. I can't believe that would be the story they're telling next season. So it's the cliffhanger, but I wonder if it'll be dispatched with pretty quickly. And then the hunt for Marcos is really more the story, right? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's like, I wish there was a third option, because Christian's not wrong for being wary, but by completely restricting people and being like, "You can't do it because I said so," I mean, I feel like it should be a joint thing. I mean, you know, they have the treaty and everything with the Belters and Mars
yeah.
and everything, but I think all three leaders should get together and be like, "Okay, you know, let's send a probe, let's send explorers, let's, you know, let's do something," because
yeah.
telling people don't do this is just going to make them want to do it more. And Christian knows that, but she rules with such an iron fist and fear,
yeah.
you know, that she
yeah.
expects everybody to just, you know, where I don't think Gao's wrong, because, I mean, there's still so much animosity between the three factions. Gao's not wrong in the fact that let people go. You know, it's our future. It's the new frontier. I mean, why not? We're explorers. I mean, you know, the terraforming
yeah, I mean,
of Mars has been going on for years. So but that's what I'm saying. What we need is that happy middle, that person that wants to explore and let people go to new worlds, but be a little more cautious than Gao is being.
I mean, I think Christian, I mean, wonder seeing them is that Christian was like, okay, so she wasn't as up close and personal with the protomolecule as, like, the people on the Rossi were, right? But Christian, like, was way closer to it, and she knows the risks of letting the protomolecule spread more than almost anyone, and she understands, like the people who were in that ring with Holden that day, like, understand in a way that, like, Molly Gow living her nice little life on Earth can't possibly understand, right? The risk and
right.
I mean, she's probably never even flown in space. And so I understand Christian understands these risks greatly. And what happened on Terra Nova is a perfect example. Although what happened on Terra Nova never would have happened probably if Holden hadn't cut the root. And so one thing that confuses me a little, so it appears by the end of the season that Thomas Jane is perhaps no longer on the show, that what's his character's name? Miller was able to, Miller's consciousness has survived somehow in the protomolecule, like he was able to break through. So
yes.
It's all along it's been fake Miller. All along it's been, well, we knew that. We knew it was the protomolecule communicating through Miller. But he kind of felt like it was Miller, and then real Miller broke through and was like, "No, this thing is like playing you. We got to destroy it." And somehow, I don't really understand, like, the God black hole thingy that was there, and how Miller knew that if Miller jumps in there, it'll build whatever. I didn't really fully get it, but I get it enough to accept it. And it makes sense. So, and I think that story needed to end. So, and it ended well. But where am I going with this? how it never would. Oh, I don't know. So now we don't know what the protomolecule creature was up to, like why it wanted to cut that route and why it wanted to activate that planet, right? Like we can't really get an answer to that because it can't communicate now until it'll probably find another way to communicate with Holden. He's definitely been fundamentally changed by going through the ring and by touching that stuff. But we don't know why it wanted to turn on the planet and what that stuff really was. But it was Holden's fault. And those people could have been living there, mining their lithium happily. Yeah. Actually, probably Mercury would have come and wiped them all out anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Mercury was like, I mean, Amos was right. Amos says, I know you, you're a killer. I've seen people like you before. And he was right. Mercury, like, really enjoyed killing people. And it kind of surprised me that Wei could be, she was so devoted to him because he once saved her life. But it was so obvious that he was a bad, bad guy, right? Who enjoyed
Wei
killing people.
Off at the end.
Yeah.
She made me so mad. She made
with
Amos
her
shoot.
Allegiance. I know, right?
And
yeah.
I knew he was going to. It was so obvious that he was going to do it. And she didn't think. She's like, you ain't going to do it. And he's like, get out of my way. No? Okay, bang.
Just know Amos like we know Amos. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so one other thing we didn't really talk about that I really enjoyed also, the whole OPA. I mean, it was nice to see Chad Coleman for 1 minute finally in the show coming back. But the whole OPA thing up on Medina Station I found really interesting. You know that I've always really enjoyed the complex politics on this show. And I felt like I really enjoyed seeing, Clay's, is his name Anderson, his last name? And the woman who is friends with Naomi is named
Ashford.
Ashford and Drummer. So I really enjoyed really all of Ashford and Drummer's scenes, which was basically the two of them on the bridge of the station most of the time. I enjoyed the dilemma they're in, the position they're in, the Wei other OPA are calling them, like, you know, you're the Earth lapdog doing their bidding, and they're being like, no, violence is not the Wei. Like, I really enjoyed all of that, and I was really surprised when he got killed at the end.
Oh my God, so was I. When they killed Ashford, my first thought was, Drummer is going to lose her shit next season.
Yep. Oh,
she
yeah.
is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I mean, I
and
think
you know what I
yeah,
really
she's going to kill Marcus.
Well, I don't know. Who knows who's going to actually end up killing Marcos? But she's definitely going to be in the hunt for him, hardcore. When she told Fred Johnson off, that was great.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, Fred, like, you know, Fred played her.
Yeah.
Fred, you know, Fred needed to be told off. Fred played her. Fred did her wrong. It was awesome. I was glad to see it also.
And that was the other thing, in that nobody except for the OPA knows it. But Fred is actually responsible for all the shit that Christian's getting in that she fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Fred is like, I mean, he's really been responsible for a lot of shit last year with the missiles. Fred is really not a good guy. Like, so he's the boss of Tycho Station? But he's not a good co-leader with Ashford and the other OPA factions, right? Because he really can't be trusted. He's the least trustworthy among a bunch of untrustworthy people. Who's always furthering his own agenda. Like, Ashford and Drummer really have the good of the Belters at the front of their minds, I think.
Right. It's a shame that Ashford's dead, but Ashford, I mean, is really the perfect story Belter, because he was hardcore. He was a pirate, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, you were saying, you know, they really do believe to do what's the best for all Belters, and it's so clear with him, because you see how he really has changed, you know? the decisions he's made. I mean, to vote to kill Marcos, you know, and then, you know, that conversation he has with the drummer afterwards, you know, like, they both really see it, and I think they complement each other so well, and it's going to be a shame to not have him make the, oh, man, I can't wait to see the hellstorm that Drummer cooks up.
I know, especially after the way their relationship was so adversarial last season, and it wasn't until they both were trapped and probably going to die, and then, you know, Drummer sacrifices herself so Ashford can get free when they're trapped by that piece of equipment. You know, and her spinal, I mean, luckily they can rewrite her spinal column apparently, but like, their relationship changed, and like, I love seeing them together. Like, all of their scenes were together pretty much, and they have a fantastic relationship that really was rooted in a complex development, and I'm really going to miss them. But yeah, she's going to go nuts because he became like a really trusted and valued friend of hers. And she already was mad at Marcos because she's so close to Naomi, right? I mean, she considers Naomi to be a very trusted friend. She and Naomi go way back. She considers Naomi a trusted friend. And I also think, just as a woman who's been through shit, she really like feels for what Naomi went through with Marcos, where he kind of like made her a terrorist, right? She was like sort of a baby terrorist. And she was naive, probably thinking that you could, you know, be in the OPA and not kill people. Like, she thought they were pirates and he thought they were terrorists. And I think Drummond really feels for the way that he tricked and used Naomi, and then, you know, I mean, took away her son, right? Yeah. So Drummond, as far as he knows, doesn't have any kids, but she really, I mean, so she already hated him for what he did to Naomi, but now he killed Ashford. I mean, she floated Ashford, who had a great, great death.
Yeah.
He got a great death.
Yeah, he did. You know, I kept waiting for him to pull a rabbit out of a hat, though. I kept waiting for that moment where he gets away somehow. And it just didn't come.
It happened. We should have known he was going to die when he watched videos of his son, which I'm not sure I knew he had. Anytime somebody's watching videos of their baby, they're going to die.
Yeah, this is true.
I was half expecting to see Elizabeth Mitchell at some point, and we didn't see her.
I forgot about her.
Right? It's the only character
Elizabeth
that she's ever played that I didn't hate. Like, she always plays characters that I just hate, and I actually grew to really like her character last season.
She was not in it. Really wouldn't have had anything to do this season.
No, but I mean, she wouldn't, I guess. But I didn't know she would have anything to do until the season was over, right? Like, is she going to appear and advise Christian on some appear on Earth and advise Christian on some stuff, or is she going to appear on Mars, and like, who knows, right? But yeah, there would be nothing for her to do. But I couldn't really know that until I had watched it all. So she's somebody I would expect to see again, probably. They cast a huge actress. Not huge. She's not like Helen Mirren, but, you know, a big name for this show. So the only thing that I'm really disappointed in is that I watched it in 2 days, and now I have no more Expanse for like a year and a half, probably, right?
I know.
I hope it will be renewed. You and I we had this text conversation about the amount of marketing that Amazon is putting into this far exceeds what what sci-fi was, and that I saw a trailer for it at Star Wars. Okay, not like a full trailer. You know, in the movie they show like ads before they show the trailers.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so there was like an ad, but it was the season trailer. I saw when I went to Star Wars. So they're promoting it to Star Wars crowds, which makes total sense, right? But must be expensive. And then I saw a billboard in downtown Baltimore advertising the Expanse, which surprised me. But I couldn't take out my camera and take a picture while I was driving. So they're pushing it. I'm glad to see it. I hope people will watch it. Mm-hmm. I keep telling people to watch it.
Yeah, it was really good. And that was the thing, like, once, you know, I watched the first episode not realizing that there was more than one episode out, because I didn't realize
Yeah.
Amazon was like Netflix and released everything.
Yeah.
And then it was like I was kind of trying to savor it, but there was, you know, it was like once I got rolling, because
Yeah.
it is on, they film, it's like they, you know, they filmed it for a streaming service, so the way some of the episodes ended, like, oh, you got to start the next one, you
Yeah.
know?
And it cues it right, it's right there in 20, it says next in 20 seconds, and you're like,
Exactly.
all right, I'll watch it.
But
Yeah,
yeah, I was
I
trying to kind of pace it so I didn't do that, but.
Yep. Yeah. And I do think that people who haven't watched it all, I do think you could jump in right now to this season and understand enough. I think they do kind of a good
You can
job of
understand
explaining where we are.
enough.
Yeah. I mean, you could
You can
understand the
understand enough, but.
story. You wouldn't understand a character like Amos necessarily, right? But you would understand the story
Yeah.
generally.
Yeah. Yeah, you could
Yeah.
definitely gauge enough. But you know what though, that's the great thing about some of these newer shows that only have 10 to 13 episodes a season. It's not like back in the day where, all right, say, I mean, all right, it's gonna be a bad example in one aspect because you could just jump in and watch ER at any point because it was a doctor show, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, it was on
Because
for
basically
11 seasons.
procedural.
You know, that,
Yeah.
yeah. But it was on for 11 seasons, you know? So, but to get caught up, like, say you wanted to watch all of it, it would take you 2 years because it was 11
Yeah.
seasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of 22 episodes. That, you know, shows that, you know,
Oh my
your
God, yeah.
prototypical show of
It's
22 seasons,
200.
you know, 22 episodes a season,
Yeah.
you know?
Mhm.
It's, and you know
330
what the best
episodes you
part
gotta
is?
watch.
And I haven't found a way to get it into this podcast until now. You know what shows, well, you know what show kind of started this whole shorter season thing? Lost.
Lost, yep. Yes. Yeah.
They were a pioneer in so many fields. But you know,
Yep,
sometimes,
when
I mean,
Dawson
especially for book show, book, you know, like adaptations like this, it's sometimes better, you know, doing like this. Like, I think is it The Stand? Yeah, it's this. I don't know what channel it's gonna be on, but they're redoing The
Oh, yeah,
Stand
they're doing The
again.
Stand, yeah.
But they're
Yeah.
doing it as a series this time, a TV series this time, instead of like a mini series, where actually, you know, it's actually gonna be like 10 episodes, you
It
know,
needs it.
which, yeah, exactly, you know, so
The
it
Stand has
definitely
too
works
much to be,
better.
yeah.
Well, a lot of books do. I mean, think about all the books that have been, and don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of good books that have been turned into 2-hour movies that worked, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, something like, you know, The Hunger Games, those worked as movies. There's
Yeah,
certain books, though, that
those are
have
slim
so
books.
much
Yeah.
information, there's so much going on that you
Yeah.
need
Game of
this
Thrones.
type of medium, you know. So
Yeah.
I you know, on one hand, you know, when all the streaming stuff first started, people were like, oh, you know, changing the way how TV works and blah, blah, and everything. And now I hardly know anybody that actually physically has cable television, you know.
I
I
do.
have
Yeah.
I know you still do, and I know Jamie still does, but I don't anymore. I got rid of Time Warner, or well, Spectrum, idiots. But I mean, of course, I still have the internet through them. But
Well,
as far as live
to be
TV,
honest, it's cheaper to have them both, really. I have Comcast, and it's cheaper for me to have them both. But anyway, that's neither here
well,
nor there.
that's
But
why I
you're
kind
right,
of
it's
set them up
changing, and
quite.
people don't have it.
Well, I
Few,
mean,
fewer and
Spectrum
fewer people
started this
have it.
new thing. Yeah, Spectrum started this new thing. I keep getting these damn letters in the mail. For $25 a month, I can pick 10 channels to watch live. What the hell? Ten
Well,
channels? What are you? And
that's a lot of channels.
that's the thing. With
Yeah.
Hulu, you know, I mean, 90% of
Yeah.
stuff on TV, you can watch on Hulu the next day. And I get Hulu for free
Yeah.
through Sprint, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
You know, you're making me think we'd be remiss if we sign off without talking about the Golden Globes real quick. You just made me think that Netflix went into the Golden Globes with 34 nominations, the most of any network, and came out with only 2 wins. Scorsese got no awards for The Irishman, and Netflix only got like 2 wins, and it was really like, the story going in was that the streaming services are going to dominate the awards again, and they came out and didn't, dominate. And Network did a little bit better.
I know 2 things about the Golden Globes. I know that Mr. Robot won 2 awards.
Yeah.
And
what did it win?
Richard Gervais gave I don't know what they won. I just know that they won. And Richard Gervais gave the best opening monologue ever in the history of monologues. That was amazing.
Depends who you ask.
So on point. So on point.
Although he bombed with the crowd in the room, I guess because he was very critical of them.
And a special shout out to Mr. Tom Hanks, because I'm sure you've seen the meme of the face he made at one of
the movies. Oh, yeah, the face he made. Yeah. That one and the face that Jennifer Aniston made when Brad Pitt was talking.
But,
yeah.
Who cares if he had the room or not?
Yeah.
The people that matter.
That's
public.
Not what he's really hired for. Yeah.
Yeah. Won't be hired for it again.
No, but he already knew it was his last one. Yeah. So,
anyway.
All right. So I guess that's it for this. That's all we have to cover this week.
Yep.
So little has been on for the last 2 weeks. We're in between seasons.
Yep.
So next week we'll have Doctor Who again.
Emergence is on tonight. So we'll have that back on the podcast next week. But so many of the shows we were talking about ended. Mr. Robot ended. His Dark Materials is over for the season. American Horror Story has been over for a couple of weeks. So a lot of the stuff we were talking about isn't on.
Yeah. So we'll be slow until the spring premieres. Have some new stuff. So let's have a short show next week. We'll have Star Wars. We'll have Emergence. And whatever else comes our way. We still managed to talk for 2 hours tonight. So
I feel like there's something else coming. But well, that's because you guys had a 2-hour episode of Doctor Who, and we just talked about an entire season. What's the thought? So.
Six minutes, All right. Well, then we'll just wrap it up.
This week, folks. Yep. We'll do it again next week.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And NDB Media.
Good night.
We'll do it again next week.
Jamie.
Good night.
Okay, bye.